Please take your Bibles and turn to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, we see the very last chapter of the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1, we'll read the whole chapter. This is the word of God. Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy statement. And concerning these things, I want to speak confidently. I want you to speak confidently, so that those who have believed God will be careful to engage in good deeds. These things are good and profitable for men. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. When I send Artemas and Tychicus to you, make every effort to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Diligently help Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way, so that nothing is lacking for them. Our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. All who are with me greet you. Greet those who love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. And that ends the book of Titus. That is God's word. And so for the third time in two chapters, we saw last week, twice, Paul reminds Timothy here, once again in verse 8. He says, speak confidently about these things. We learned last week in chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 15, he calls them to speak the things which are fitting for sound doctrine, and speak and exhort and reprove with all authority these things. And here again, speak confidently these things. In verses 1 through 7, he wants the people to understand two other things. And first, verses 3 through 7, Paul and Titus were at one time foolish. Paul was, and Titus were at one time foolish, disobedient. They were deceived. They were enslaved, etc. Just like the church in Crete, just like the people they're ministering to, they're no different. But God, through Jesus Christ, showed His love towards them and saved them, not according to works, but by His mercy, through the cleansing of their hearts by the Holy Spirit, changing their hearts in regeneration so that they could repent and believe the gospel. And they were justified, it says. And then it describes that they were adopted into the family of God, made heirs. And because of this, they were continually rid themselves of sin and turn to the righteousness of in Christ. And that's what we see in the second part, the second point, that is in verses 1 through 2. How they are to live now because they have been saved. That they are to teach these things. How they are to be sanctified. How they are to be cleansed from their sins. What are good works for God's people? And so he says, verse 1, remind them to be submissive to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing every consideration for all men, because Christ has saved them. And then verses 9 through 11, Paul gives more instructions to Titus, the pastor, the elder, teachings for our elders here and for all elders. Teachings he should avoid. How he should deal with heresy and false teachings. And then he gives closing statements and a final greeting. And yet verse 14, we see another little, he's like, he's writing and then all of a sudden he forgot something and he writes it in there. And then he finishes. In verse 14, in one last reminder, he says, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they will not be unfruitful. Continue pushing forward. Continue pushing the people forward in sanctification. Congregation, you need to move forward in sanctification and doing good deeds that to meet pressing needs, and that is the pressing needs of the world. Sin. That they'll see your good deeds and glorify the Father. And so you won't be unfruitful, but you will be fruitful and you'll show your good works when people will see them. And they'll see a difference in you and how you have been made different. They'll see Jesus. That they'll believe the gospel and glorify God. But don't fall into the trap. There's a trap there. Trying to attain good works and doing good works on your own merit and on your own strength. Always and for the rest of all, well, forever. You have to pursue good works and good deeds in the power and strength of Christ. Praying for Jesus and praying that the Holy Spirit would strengthen you to do good works. Because of Christ's righteousness. Because we can't do it ourselves. Because we're in sin. We need God every step of the way. Not just to save us, but to save us completely. And that means sanctify us. That we'll be prepared for glory. It's only because of His grace that we can do anything good. And we praise God for that grace. A trustworthy statement we see here about His grace and His love in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for the gospel. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank You that He, You sent into the world, though we did not deserve anything good. You sent Him into the world as the Son of God, a God and man. Two distinct natures, one person forever. And You sent Him to redeem us from bondage and slavery to sin. And so He lived the perfect life and He died the perfect death. The spotless Lamb of God sacrificed for us. And Father, because of this, we pray that You would strengthen us to live for You and worship You in all things, even as we worship now in the public assembly. We pray that You would be glorified and strengthen us to do it. Strengthen us to live for You. Strengthen us to be cleansed of sin, to put to death sin, and to put on righteousness. Strengthen us to live for You, to put on good deeds and to live out our lives according to Your word, that You would transform our minds, You would transform our hearts and our thoughts, our words, and our actions. That by them we would show forth Christ. That by them You would be glorified. Father, we pray that You would sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. And You've promised us these things. You promised us that we were created to do good works, that we were chosen beforehand for holiness. And so we ask for you to make that happen. Be faithful to your promise. We know you're faithful. We've seen so many times in Joshua how you have been faithful to your promises. Be faithful to this promise. Cleanse us of our sin. We also ask that you would strengthen the elders here. We even bless our meeting on Tuesday. But strengthen us to stand against false teaching and heresy, and not allow various controversies to enter into this assembly and before our people, but that we would be good shepherds, that we would be protectors of your people in Christ. A key word there, key words there, in Christ. Not on our own strength, not on our own wisdom, but we need the wisdom of Jesus, which is greater than the wisdom of Samson. So, Father, we pray you would watch over the elders, especially, and watch over our families and all the families here. Grow us, strengthen us in marriages, cause our children to believe and live out the gospel. And that first and foremost, we would be the ones, as parents, living it out. Strengthen us to do so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.